miniature Seattle.
It's all relative, right?
Our Reverend's not here today.
I said the prayer last time.
Okay. I'd like to ask the Commissioner Beecham to lead us in vacation, please.
Thank you, dear God, for this day, and thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Help us as county leaders to be leaders and to be people that care about the people in Orange County and care about Orange County and be with all the workers and all the people and keep them safe. Help us to make good decisions and be with everyone that's in need today. Thank you for all our blessings. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Am I going to get a chat?
Once again, we'd like to welcome everyone that took time to come to our meeting. Item number one is what we'll start off with. Open up court session for comments from the court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the final week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. This time, does anyone out in the audience like to address the court? Anyone on the court like to address the court?
Okay. Moving up.
All right. Item two, discussion of possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor per test and listings, and specifically as follows. The two listed bills is $79,773.64 to Texas Association of Counties Health and Employee Benefit Pool from the General Fund for Group Medical, Dental, Life, and Retiree Insurance under the age of 65. And the second B is $111,573 to the Orange County Appraisal District from general fund for the third quarter funding,
and also for approval on June 12th, 2019, from the general fund, $291,664. Road and bridge, $18,560.02. Mosquito control, $3,048.06. Adult probation, $833.23. Airport, $75, and various combined other funds, $87,945.01, for a grand total of $402,125.32.
Move to go ahead and pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2, to pay the bills as listed on the agenda, and plus the presentation by the county auditor. Any discussion? Mm-hmm. All in favor, sit the five of saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye, sir. Item three, discussion of possible action approving a line item transfer involving the sheriff's office for same exams to office supplies of $1,000.
Okay.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 4 to allow the line item transfer. Any further discussion?
Sheriff ain't here. That's unusual.
All in favor, sit the top of saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
I forgot it was on Wednesday.
Yeah. Item four, discussion of possible action regarding approving line item transfer involving the MIS system. Equipment of greater than $5,000 in the amount of $69,000 to contract service and maintenance of $69,000 to provide funds for the remainder of the year.
What are, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So what is the same exam?
Oh, that's
a same exam?
Yes.
Sexual assault victims go to the hospital and they have an exam performed on them for sexual assault.
I didn't know what that
was. They pretty costly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
And do we still have money left in there?
I'm not sure what the sheriff's office has, but I think these things run up to about $2,000 a piece.
I'm just hoping there's money.
I'm not really sure.
All right, we're on four now. Lisa, This is the new internet site. Is this what this is?
This one is actually for
renewal
of our firewall.
Okay.
We got a deal where we could renew it for 3 years, so we're doing.
If you renew it now, you save a lot of money.
And we have two firewalls that we have to renew, so it's like $52,000, I think. And so we just needed to transfer some money.
Yeah, it's built into your budget already, so.
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 3 to allow the line item transfer involving managing information systems of $69,000. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item 5, discussion possible action approving another line item transfer for MIS, which is from equipment between $2,000 and $4,999. The transfer of $10,000 out of that line item, oh, I hate this one, into other, $10,000. I hate that word. I'm sorry. I did. It doesn't explain anything, but anyway.
Sundry items.
I guess it's better than the word miscellaneous
listed.
Later. This one would be for the website.
Yeah, okay. This is the website. Okay.
Yeah. So moved.
That's the one we approved
on
the
website.
Just being honest.
We've discussed that, trying to figure out a way to straighten that out.
It's either miscellaneous, and that's just as bad.
It's just as bad.
It is.
Really, when you think about it, that's one of the worst words in the budget, miscellaneous.
Various and sundry items.
Combined, so then it could be fewer transfers.
I got you.
We combine.
How about the word combined? Something. Combined miscellaneous.
It's just not a clean way to say that.
No, there is. There really is. There's really not.
Very important stuff.
There you go.
Okay, motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, item 6 is discussion of possible action in Council of Precinct 1. Well, this is the one that, do we do the radios first?
Yeah, Judge,
we skip them.
Yeah, we have to skip and go back to them.
We got
to
go before, we got to do this, we're going to have to go to 9 and 10 first.
Right.
That's right.
item 9, discussion of possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioner's Court approving the purchase of 3 Minolta APX 6000 portable radios with encryption for the Office of Constable Precinct 1 at a total cost of $11,458.83. Constable Claiborne.
Yes, sir. As the commissioners are probably aware, there's going to be a wholesale change of radios, both in-car and portable. I've heard rumors that it's as early as sometime in the next few weeks, but more likely it's going to be sometime a year from now. I'd rather be ahead of the curve than behind it. This is essential. Communication between agencies is the purpose for this. I've asked for 3, one for myself and one presumably for my Chief Deputy Mike Hennigan, and possibly a third as give to a third deputy or as a backup if one goes down. I've asked for the encryption technology. That's one of those things where I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's so we can communicate on secure channels. Secure channels are make the communication shrouded from people that have the general public that may have scanners or internet capabilities to listen to that sort of thing. With regard to the change, like I said, I spoke to Mike from BearCom as late as last week. He said that it's probably going to be June before everything is taken care of. As far as the switch goes, I have heard as early as this morning that they prefer to have the orders by no later than September 30th of this year. There is a discount at this time of $1,000 per portable.
And does that discount run? It lasts through the end of the year, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've been talking a lot about radios here lately, and So for everybody's knowledge, we have three classes of radios. You have the M class, the X class, and then the new Apex radios. The X class can be reflashed so that they'll work on the new system. Motorola won't support them, so when they die, they die. The M class will no longer be of any value to us, and Lanny only has the M class. And then we have the Apex, which is the new radios going forward, and they'll still have to be reflashed, but they'll be able to work. So the Sheriff's Department, and I hate that one's not here, they're doing an inventory to find out how many of each one they got and where they can move their radios to see what they might want. And we had a discussion with Chief Tarver yesterday about buying them in bulk to see if we actually even get a better price than $1,000 off. And so I really want to table this today. I do have concern because Lanny, when they turn that switch, he won't have any way to communicate. So we need to get him some. All the other constables have at least three Apex radios, according to the inventory I got from Connie. Mm-hmm. So I think probably today we probably need to take some action for Lanny, just so in case that switch happens before we're ready, that we can do something for him. So I don't know if we want to do the two or the three right now.
Well,
what about one?
But, well, his chief.
Probably you don't have any of the. You don't have any of the three you've got is the old one.
Yeah, because over the.
And they can be flashed. All the ones he's got are the M class.
Yeah, and over the last couple of years, we've bought a couple already for some of the other ones. Yeah. Already, I think that they have. And I know we need to switch to that, but timing wise, me and Penny's had some discussions over budgetary and where we are this year, and we haven't gotten that buttoned up yet. To know, but we would really like to try to make it, I think, through this year without having to borrow money, because the cost of borrowing the money last year is enough to buy a lot of radios.
Yeah, that was
to borrow money for 3 weeks.
I'd hate to go just over the ledge when we had to spend $60,000 just to go over the ledge to buy a couple of radios. I do.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm not like you, if we wouldn't buy a couple, since he doesn't have anything, and that way you get in on the order time to make sure you have something, and any the third one or the other ones we would push to next year if that's feasible.
Yes,
and that way I think that helps our budgetary needs, you think?
I think that would be my motion is to go ahead and get him two, because we don't think they're going to turn that switch to next year, but we could get surprised, and I wouldn't want him not to be able to have communication.
It has zero communication if it happens.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're
going to go two. Correct me if I'm wrong in my looking around. Most of your entities, like cities and the county, are applying for grants to help cover these radios, but my understanding is constables don't fit into the wording of the grant.
I've been told that. I don't know that for a fact, but yes,
in the past they haven't been.
Right.
In the past they have not been. I think they changed
it. My understanding is that based on past behavior.
That's what I understand from what I was told, and I was just making that clear to people so they didn't wonder why we didn't go out and get a grant for it.
Right.
You know, we had looked at two radios and six
fill pots a year and a half or so ago, when we bought his two. He had applied and tried to find some grant process, and he didn't find it.
Yeah, well, two radios will be 67, 64, 68. Second agenda item below that, I've got two of them.
Well, I think they're different, though, Judge. Mm-hmm. I think the ones that Mark's getting, apparently the pricing is different.
Oh, okay. It's a different one?
Yeah, let me see.
Looks like the same.
But when the pricing...
The encryption is...
He's getting secured. Okay,
here we go. Do we have a price per lane?
I mean, it's about $600.
We had to figure out the cost of them for two instead of three.
Yeah.
How much is one?
Penny, I think.
Yeah, $11,458 for three of them.
I'm looking at the
two shouldn't fight
it. The average price, so it's like for one, you have to add up all the
stuff.
Yeah,
it's $38,961 a radio. If you divide the 11,000,
but then you have
three.
To add some
but it's
other
a, it's
things.
It's a package deal. You would have to
add
some other things.
Yeah, on all of them.
Can we just approve an up to cost?
Would $8,000 cover two of them?
Yeah,
it should. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You got the programming on there. Mm-hmm. You got to get that programming on there. It won't.
Device programming. I see it. Yeah.
What is your secure net? Is that your secure net?
Yes.
Exactly. I'm buying a car and paying extra for a motor. You put tires with that new car?
Yeah.
I can make a copy of this.
Okay. What I would do is I'd make a motion to authorize up to $8,000 for two radios.
Okay.
Just in case the price changes because you're buying two.
Yeah. ahead and ask a question since it's already been kind of bounced around. But the security net, because you said you weren't getting it.
I'm not getting it.
And I know you're, so is there a benefit? I mean, is it a good benefit to have that you would want it on yours too if we were going to, you know, if we got to that point?
The main advantage is that you can, if there's some sensitive information that's being passed between agencies, mm-hmm. it can be kept from public.
From the scanner.
What's the additional cost for the security? What's that part of it?
$437.27 per radio.
Does anybody know if we purchase those on the sheriff department?
Yes,
we do. Okay.
Yeah. I think I probably need to get them all ready.
All the police departments and the sheriff's office have them.
They all have the security.
But the constables have one, don't they?
West Orange for the
officers.
Do all the constables have one of those encryption radios?
I don't think I do.
Mark, you said none.
I think on my current one I do, just because.
What about three and four? Do that?
I can't remember when we bought them.
If he feels like he needs it to operate his department, we need to add it to the radio.
If the sheriff's department feels it important enough to have it, I think the same thing for our constables.
I do too.
Just my motion still. $8,000 for two radios.
Yeah.
Okay, but then
$8,000 should.
Okay, 1-3. All right. Motion has been made and seconded to approve up to $8,000 for Constable Claybar to purchase two APX 6000 portable radios with the encryption on them. Any further discussions?
No.
All in favor, sit down and say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you.
All right. Now.
Now you go back to the four.
Now we're going to Mark. We go to 10?
I'm going to go to 6 right now to take care of precinct 1. Okay. On item 6 is a transfer to Council Precinct 1 from contingency, $11,000 to equipment between $2,000 and $4,999, $11,000 to purchase three Motorola's APX 6000 portable radios. That agenda item, please have the motion reflect that that being adjusted to $8,000 for the purchase of up to two radios only.
Up to $8,000.
Whatever's necessary for the two radios.
And I'll make that motion, Judge.
Okay.
And I'll second it.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2 to approve the line item transfer agenda number 6 of Constable Precinct 1 up to $8,000 only for the purchase of two radios with encryption.
Right.
Any further discussion?
No.
Is that it? Okay. All in favor, sit down and say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it.
Yeah, and that way, next year's budget,
we can
come back and look at the other one. That way, financially, we're better.
Yes.
Thank you.
Take no action on 10 right now.
Well,
cut them eyes
off
us.
Then we go to item number 10 and go to precinct 2.
Let's go to 10.
And according to my inventory, Mark, you have three APEX right now?
Yes, sir. I have five people in my department. The sheriff's office called me last week or week before last looking for a radio that Cagle had signed out, and it apparently belongs to the sheriff's office. Well, I still got it right now, and they hadn't confirmed anything, so it might be a chance that with this radio, it might belong to the sheriff's office, and I have to bring it back to
you. And then you have one less.
And I'm going to be short two then.
Well, but you also got four M-classes.
He's good.
Sir?
You have four M-classes that work right now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So right now you have seven radios, assuming you don't have to return one to the sheriff's department.
No, I think I only got like two or three that's working. They're all broke. I try to get one to the JP to work, but all these things are malfunctioning. The screens are out on them. They don't charge. The batteries are bad on them. And
okay, we need to turn those into surplus, because what's happening is we're paying a subscription on those. each month. And I think we have that problem countywide, not just you.
Yeah,
there's a lot of radios sitting out there that aren't being used, but we're still paying a subscription on them. So we need to get those.
Yeah, I'm gonna get them.
Do you have any of those encryption radios?
I'm not aware if I have any. I think this does have it on there, but I'm not sure if it's on there or not.
Well, I think everybody
is a fantastic thing to use. Now, I just got this thing not too long ago, and I'm still not familiar with how to use
That's the Apex one, right?
This is.
You have two that, even with the Sheriff's Department coming and getting their stuff, you'll still be remaining at least two.
Yes, but
I want to make sure he has one.
Well, This is showing. They're showing up three in your inventory, not in the sheriff's inventory.
That's right. Showing up three, but the sheriff's office called me the other day and said, "Hey, we got a radio checked out today at Cagle."
Was it an Apex or was it the
old? It's an Apex.
So we got a radio somewhere. That's
yeah. So, but I'm going to have to release it to them, but I've been kind of reluctant because I need the radios for me and my guys right now also.
All right.
But
right now you still
have... They haven't really confirmed it with me if it's theirs or not. And
didn't... Some way I heard something like one of those radios from you was for precinct to...
Yes. Yes.
Well, didn't he need to put that in his budget?
No, that's fine. Whatever he needs to do.
I mean, isn't that right?
You know, I'm just trying to get where we... Have some radio.
Yeah, because really everything in your inventory.
Because let me tell you this, I don't mind giving the radio to, you know, my 30 past years of experience in law enforcement. I don't mind giving the radio to the judge because these things go out all the time. I mean, and you can get them worked on if you still got a warranty, but when they go out, you're done.
Yeah.
For months until they get them fixed up. And so it's always good to have a spare. I want it too. I'll settle with one.
Okay.
I will settle with one until the budget's better. But, you know, I want to give it to the judge. That way I can have something whenever it goes down.
Okay.
And I very well can't take the judge's stuff away from him. If it's his, I can't very well say, hey, I need your radio and go back out on the street.
How many of your M-classes are working, though, Mark?
The old ones?
Yeah.
I think three.
Okay.
I think three.
Okay, so that would give you
four.
You have six, assuming... So you'd have six, assuming the sheriff don't come grab one from you. Five, if the sheriff grabs one from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the thing, because I'm going back and kind of looking at it, because look, I want us to have the stuff that we need to operate, but
right,
we gave two to him so he'd have two operational.
Right.
Okay.
You got two operational.
You have two operational.
Right.
Precinct 3 has two operational that we bought last year, and Precinct 4...
Three.
That's three. And so my thing of it is because if we give you one where you have extra ones, or basically more than the two.
Well, it's not going to be extra. I still got other personnel.
I got three people
that don't even have one.
But that's a determination of how many people you have.
And there's a possibility.
Well, that determination helps me out on here on the streets because they're out here helping me.
I understand
right now.
That. But I also understand that I'm trying to make sure that we stretch the budget as much as we can into next year.
I understand
year.
That.
And if we can wait a couple of months before we do that,
well,
to the next budget
that's
season.
That's fine. I ain't got a problem with that.
And we may also, once we get the list of how many of the class that can be reprogrammed, we may have some extra radios laying around that could be reprogrammed to be used.
Well, these old ones, you're not going to be able to reprogram them.
Not the old ones, but the Sheriff's Department is supposed to be getting us a list of the ones that can be reprogrammed.
Yeah, I had a pretty good conversation with Captain Howard yesterday, and we talked about reflashing the X-classes. The M-classes are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So he's trying to figure out, instead of buying all Apexes in 1 year and hitting the budget like crazy, is trying to stretch these X-classes out. They won't be supported by Motorola, but if we can buy another year or two with these X-classes, we'll buy what we need with Apex, and then that'll give us time to buy more down the road, so we won't all hit one.
My question is, they're turning this around. I mean, they're not going to be good anymore after a certain day. How often does this happen? Is it every year?
It hasn't happened as long as I've been there. I mean,
Well,
that's not true. I mean, very seldom it has happened, but... When they go, I mean, we used to have the radios about this big. Whenever they went out, they was discontinued. We got the smaller radios, and that lasted a while. Then they discontinued them.
Well, somebody on here has got some Astro Spectre radios. I take it they've been dead for a long time.
It happened one time.
What, you talking about the big one?
Yeah, I guess that was Astro Spectre.
I haven't seen one of them in many years.
Well,
we're still on inventory, so we're still paying. I mean, that's kind of cool, but we're costing our...
There's a term in the radio where everybody says 800...
Megahertz,
800 radio.
Right.
I can say that the current system in one permutation or another has been around in excess of 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I mean, I just didn't know. I had no idea.
All that,
The radios had to be changed.
Changing this system hadn't happened in 30-something years.
Gotcha. Right. Well, that makes me feel better.
Every 3 or 4 years.
Well,
and I understand, I heard y'all talking about the promotion and get a package deal and a bunch of them, but talking to Mike Weiss this morning that they're $1,000 a piece off right now, and it'd be a great deal if we can get a bunch of them. But he said by the end of the year, they're going to be, it's going to be off. And also, September 30th, they're trying to get all the orders in. So if you, try, you don't get an order in by September 30th, you're going to be hung out. Looks like for a while.
We'll have a budget, a new budget in place before September.
It starts October 1st, but with that moves us to the purchase in the budget year
right.
next year, which is
with Bill supplying the main. With Bill supplying the main radios in this area, they're going to be swamped.
But if you put your order in, they've got to be
able to get them out of New York.
That's it. They're going to have to put it in.
Yeah.
But I was requesting to. Broke it down to one, and Lanny brought up a good Constable Claybar brought up a good point about the SecureNet. I've used SecureNet all my life, and
you need to get
these. Really a good thing. You get out here and everybody has radios; they can hear everything you're doing, and the SecureNet is a good thing. And I didn't put in for it; I'm just trying to help the budget part of it. But I'm not sure if we can go back later and put it in.
Well, as I said, at least what I'd like to, I mean, I'd rather not, we can do it if it's not on the agenda, but I'd rather just go back and at least on the ones that you have currently, if it's not, check and see if it's not on there. If it's not, then I'd like to add those. I'd be okay with spending that money right now. It's $1,000 to get
it's a fantastic tool to use.
And push any new radios past that too already to next year's budget. I just would feel better about it.
In this day and time, you've got to have that because everybody else.
Like you said, I kind of agree with you. I think your radio should have the encryption.
Yeah, I do too. We need to check with the other two constables also to see if theirs has encryption on it. Also.
Yeah,
we need everybody to be happy.
But I'm also more comfortable purchasing radios in the budget.
The issue I have with these, they're so complex. This is crazy.
I understand Lanny's. he didn't have any.
I'd have a PhD to figure out how to use the daggone thing.
Constable Jones' question, it's my understanding that they can't, that the newer ones can be retrofitted for the security.
The Apex.
Is that just a function of programming,
Yes. Yeah. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Extra money.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, for them to program them.
To program it. And Lanny said 437.27. I didn't add that into mine, but mine was 3382 for one radio, and with the 4337.22, I don't have my.
Mark, if you could check to see what it would cost, if it's going to be a different cost if they reprogram your existing radios.
It's probably going to be the 43 or 437.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just. And also, device programming. You got device programming? Because you've got to put that in there.
I saw that on the lineup.
We get all our radios back, and none of them are programmed. I'm like,
the very last one.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah. Y'all need a copy of this? This is mine. It's the same thing as he's got right there. I kind of rough sketched mine.
But if we do one for you at 4,000, and we give you $4,037, is that going to be something?
How much?
Do y'all come up with about $4,037?
No, it's less than $4,000.
About $3,800, I think.
We got to figure out what we're going to do with the one that you have. It's in your inventory, but the sheriff says it's his.
Well, I called him back the other day. It was Richard, and I called him back. I said, hey, man, have you found anything? So I read him all my serial numbers, and he didn't come back and say anything. But it was checked out to David Cagle. So...
Okay.
Well, and I kind of go back to my deal, though, is we've already cut, Constable Claybar back to two from his three. To wait for his third to next year. And then the other two constables have two. Then they're going to want to come back and ask for three. We kind of get back into that printer on a birthday thing.
Yeah. It's always the same thing.
Can we do up to 4,000 and he have one?
I think we just table for now.
We just table his?
But check,
check on the encryption. I don't have a problem approving the encryption.
Me either.
Okay. Yeah, I don't, no, definitely. And he should have six or five and then working radios
when we
on the
start
number.
Our new budget season. Yeah. Then I would encourage everybody to come
do
back.
Do the encrypt.
Because at that point, we'll be better financial.
Trees.
Because we're going to be close. We hadn't got to those end numbers yet. But And more we move out of contingency, the more that happens.
I'm hearing conflicting information on all this. You know, I talked to somebody, said, well, June of 2019 is going to be done. It's going to be cut off, and then you're going to be out. And then you talk to somebody else, they say, well, it's going to be June of 2020. And you talk to somebody else, it's going to be September. I don't have a clue when it's going to be cut off. Yeah.
But you do have operational radios, though.
Until they cut it off.
Well, your Apex will still work.
Yeah, my Apex is working, but I need additional radios for the additional personnel that I have.
He didn't have any.
I know.
They flipped the switch today.
And he's going to be in trouble. He's going to be probably calling on my door saying, hey, I need some radios and be borrowing what I don't have, you know. The thing of it is, you don't know when they're going to shut this down.
We're going to try to react before the end of the year, but we're trying to get into that next month.
Excuse me. I'm going to go ahead and shut this down. Is there a motion at this time to buy the radios or just no motion? Okay. Item number is not going to be dealt with because of lack of emotion.
Wait.
We're not getting anywhere.
We're not. But I thought that we were going to have up to $4,000 for Mark.
He's already got some working radios. We made a motion with Lanny because Lanny could be stuck with no radios. Mark at least has some.
Yeah, he's got some.
Is that correct, Mark?
He wants more. He needs more.
Yeah, I need more for my personnel.
But you have some.
Three.
Okay, we can live with that until the budget.
So if he put 10 in, he won't.
Okay.
And the only issue I have is I have events going on and my guys are working. Mm-hmm. They're out there without no radio, with that Apex.
Not at this time, they're not. No, not at this time, they're not. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I have to say something here. We can't use a scare tactic. Okay. They're just trying to balance some money here. Okay. If the radios, they work, you got radios now, correct?
Yes.
They'll be in a jam, though, whenever they're obsolete.
And we're
okay.
But we don't know when that's
going. Yeah.
Okay, I'll second that motion, Jack.
There is no motion.
No motion.
No motion. Okay.
If you table it, you have to bring it back up, but it's going to be brought back up in the budget.
After the budget.
If that's what you need
to do. Okay, I just want to make sure that it's...
Okay. All right.
So that takes us back to 7, which we need no motion on 7.
Yeah.
7, no action.
I think we're at number 8 now.
8? Oh, yeah. We hadn't done that.
Okay. 10, no action. Okay.
10 will be no action.
All right. Let me go to number 8. Discussion possible action regarding an order for disbursement of salary. This is that new bill that was passed by the legislature this year, where if we pass the order today, we will not have to approve the salaries each time there's a pay period from Christie. It would automatically deposit the salaries into the people's accounts like you normally do, but we will not have to come up on the court to approve those salaries. The bill that was passed covered salaries and other types of expenditure. But I personally just felt like taking care of the salaries and getting that off the agenda. The rest of them are all included into the auditor's weekly financial report. So
we need to look at those. I agree.
Yeah, those need to always pretty much checked out. Salaries are pretty much in stone.
But they're in budget. Yeah.
They're in the budget.
And this is what the order authorizes the county to do. That. County funds previously budgeted for salaries for officers and employees shall be dispersed by the county payroll officer upon submission of all necessary payroll information by the appropriate department heads or supervisors. It does not have to be approved by the court. The auditor, I didn't get a chance to speak to you. Are you okay with this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I know Christy is.
Basically, with something ever happened where we didn't have
on board with it.
If something ever happened where we didn't have our weekly meeting, our people would still be paid.
We had an issue. We haven't had much issues here about it. No. We had issues during Hurricane one time where we had to approve the payroll inside the AT&T building. Okay. So I need a motion and a second on that, gentlemen.
Make a motion. I'll second.
Okay. Here we go. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, second by Commissioner Precinct 4. Approving the order regarding the disbursement of salaries. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor, sit down and say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Okay.
Did you need to read that, Judge, or you just don't, you don't need to read it?
Yeah, I just, I read that, which one is this one? Okay. Yeah, on this audit for disbursement of salaries, whereas Senate Bill 354 of the 86th Legislative Session effective May 31st, 2019, provided that county funds previously budgeted for salaries and authorized office expenses may be dispersed as payment for salary or routine office expenses. And whereas the Orange Commissioners Court of Orange County wishes to implement the provisions of this act, now therefore it be ordered that county funds previously budgeted for salaries for officers and employees shall be dispersed by the county payroll officer upon submission of all necessary payroll information for the appropriate department head and supervisor. It, we did not authorize the office expenses. That's not in there. Okay. All right. I just signed that. So I put that in there. Yeah, it's all right. Okay. So you didn't put Attorney Grimmie on it, put in line items for everybody on that one, so that's all right. All right. Now, Okay, item 11, discussion of possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioners Court to approve documents necessary for submission of projects to the Texas General Land Office for funding under the Hurricane Harvey Community Development Block Grant Program. Documents for discussion and action include resolution authorizing application submission, proposed ordinance authorizing county personnel to submit application, and approved required certifications, approving a Section 3 policy, federal grant procurement policy, and citizens participation plan. Joe, have at it, buddy. Why can't we just one? There you go, Joe. Explain them all, buddy.
Explain all that.
Judge, Commissioners, this is the CDBG-DR monies for the buyout acquisition and the infrastructure project. Today, we also have with us Nancy Beward and Phil Hampston and Drew Cameron. They're going to be available to answer any questions that the court might have and to kind of explain it. And just for everybody's clarification, this is a little bit, this is different than the hazard mitigation buyouts. That's currently under review. This is the CDBG deal. That being said, I will turn it over to Drew.
Get well.
She's got a daughter leaving.
Take care, Mark. Thank you, man.
Dr. Ruby.
All right. We got things one at a time here.
Members of the commission, as part of item 11, there are five actions that you are required to approve in order to be eligible to receive disaster recovery funds. Those items are as follows. The first is the submission of the application to the state. And, of course, you have to approve the submission of the application before the state will receive your application. The second is the Section 3 policy. Basically, that is a requirement that by the federal government that says that any new jobs that are created as a result of these funds are made available to low-income residents in the Orange County area. The third is the citizens participation plan, and basically that is consistent with federal policy that assures that the citizens within the Orange County area have the opportunity to review this application so that it doesn't appear that it's being created in a vacuum. So it's consistent with the way you operate your commissioner's court. The third is the federal grant procurement policy, which is also, again, consistent with federal policy that says any contracts that are procured as a result of these federal funds are open, consistent, and available to all. And the third, the Orange County CDBG ordinance, the fifth, the CDBG ordinance, basically authorizes an Orange County staff person to sign in your behalf any documents that are necessary to go to the state that is not offloading your responsibility to that staff person, because embedded in this item is a caveat to that, any decision that is made by that staff person has to be brought back to this commission at a future, at the next available future meeting, so that this commission can either ratify that decision or
review after the fact.
Deny that decision after the fact. And as a result of approving these five actions, then there will be two applications submitted to the state, one for infrastructure and one for housing. Phil Hampstead is going to talk to you about those two applications.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You don't understand.
I don't understand.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioner. It's always a pleasure to be back. Appreciate you having us in again. So I'm going to just give you the high-level overview of these two applications, and then we can talk about, you know, I'm sure we'll have quite a few questions. So the buyout application, CDBG has allocated the county just a little over $4 million. It's $4,042,000 and some change. These are, the CDBG funds are through the Housing and Urban Development. They are HUD funds. So the GLO and this program makes you identify target areas and then prioritize those target areas. After several meetings with Joel and Lisa Roberts, we put Rebecca Place, Conley, and Buns Bluff as our top three priorities. And then we wanted to make sure that we included everyone who responded or attended the public meeting we held last fall about this particular program. So that's going to be our priority four group. This program is voluntary. HUD funds do come with the low to moderate income, LMI requirements that we're all aware of. And the state right now is that has to meet a 70% low to moderate income households when receiving these funds. So we'll work applications, and we'll do application intakes for all the groups, and we'll have to work priority one first. And I understand I don't like using the word priority, because a flooded house is a flooded house, and your priority is your house. But this is a requirement of the application. So we'll work through those. We'll place all eligible applicants into either the LMI bucket or the non-LMI bucket. We'll work through priority two. We'll work priority three, priority four. And then we'll have to look and see what those two buckets look like to see who and how we can help. We do have to provide relocation assistance. It is in the budget if there are renters involved in any of the properties that are eligible. And the GLO wants this program after award to end in 24 months, so we've put together a work calendar for that. All GLO applications are currently due August 25th, and as Drew just mentioned, they will have to be posted after, if this court adopts them today, we'll need to get them posted on the somewhere on the county's website for review. We've already identified the documents that the public needs to see. We won't provide any addresses or personal names or addresses or maps of people's houses. We want to keep that private. And we have to meet the 30-day public comment period. We'll respond to the comments as necessary. And then our goal is to have the application signed and approved and submitted by July 31st. So we're a little bit early. And I'm going to put Lisa on the spot. We're hoping to talk to Lisa and Joel about where the best place to post the website, who to talk to, and get that done as soon as possible if we move forward with the applications.
Will our new website be available anytime soon, Lisa?
It's probably going to be about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So before I go into the infrastructure application, are there questions about this buyout application?
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
Is checkerboarding in the past has been a pretty big problem for us. Are we getting more checkerboarding?
So checkerboarding is almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
It is voluntary. That ends up, we're going to have an LMI requirement. So eligibility is going to be difficult, avoiding checkerboarding. My experience in the past working with GLO and with the state and the TCEQ and doing this kind of thing and seeing it, checkerboarding only goes away if you can continue to buy out homes. And that becomes tough. We all understand tax rolls and how that works. So it's a tough thing to avoid. To say it's not going to happen, I couldn't Didn't say for sure.
And I know there was some discussion at one time about the LMI requirement kind of being loosened a little bit from the state. You know, we haven't seen any movement on that.
I haven't seen any movement. 70-30. Okay. We did submit a waiver on the county's behalf that was signed by the judge. I, from just my experience in working with other clients across the state, this is not the only one that they've received. Yeah. How the GLO is going to handle those at this point, are they going to wait, see kind of how the chips fall as applications start coming in and started getting awarded and then go to HUD, or they're going to see, because the requirement is almost like a trickle-down effect. It's a state requirement. Mm-hmm. So if Harris County hits 90%, that helps the rest of the state, but they're not going to commit to anything right at this point.
Okay.
But we are trying.
I was just wondering if there had been any movement on that.
I wish there were.
Yes, don't we all?
A commitment. So,
okay. Any other questions on buyout? Mm-hmm. Okay. The infrastructure applications.
I do have one question. Is there any money budgeted in to keep us from getting into this maintenance nightmare with these properties? Is there money budgeted to, I'll say the word landscape, but really what I'm talking about is planting mass amounts of trees on these properties so that grass does not grow?
There's not money within the grant, no. That would have to come out of your maintenance budget.
I was going to think, we don't have green zone? I mean, that's...
No, sir.
No tree hugging money.
Okay. No. We could ask. We may not get an answer.
This is also that same project versus acquisition versus buyout.
And we haven't, that we haven't determined whether we're going to do one of them.
And we can go through the differences of the two different programs. Yes. I actually brought my cheat sheet so I can answer them hopefully somewhat accurately.
Because at what point do we need to, Joel, on that, or do we need to say that we're going buyout and or acquisition?
Today?
Now. Okay.
Yeah, at application time. Because they won't let you split it, because the way they see it is you can't offer two different programs, and then they think you're playing favorites.
I understand.
What is the request from the I guess the landowners, the homeowners?
Are we heavier acquisition or are we heavier buyout?
So let me. Can I answer here?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, buyout and acquisition. The definition switch when we're talking FEMA versus buyout. So the buyout that we're talking now is where it's in perpetuity. It's green space.
Yes.
So you would have the maintenance issues forever. So that particular program, you get to appraise the house pre-disaster. So the amount you purchase the home from the homeowner is larger. And as you know, this is a 100% buyout. This doesn't have a local share like the FEMA HMGP funds. The acquisition under this program is post-disaster, so it's going to be... they're going to appraise it as close as they can to right after the Harvey hit. So the buyout money is even less. So from a homeowner perspective, they don't care about your maintenance down the road, probably. They want more money for their house. So that's one of the big differences of the two programs.
The other position, we can
use it and resell.
Yes, with some stipulations, because you still have the HUD stipulations on it. So what you have to do is you still have to maintain it if you can't find uses that meet the national objective. So the easiest national objective is to turn it into low-income housing. So it's somebody who's going to build a low-income house on it. We're going to ask the GLO, if you sold it to a low-income resident, would that count? But we don't have an answer to that yet. But low-income housing is usually the way they make these available. And you have to keep it, the national objective, for 5 years. And then that homeowner, or that landowner, or that developer could then turn around and sell it for other use.
If we don't sell it in 5 years, what happens?
It's, you maintain it for 5 years. You keep maintaining it. If you don't meet the national objective, I don't think you can sell it for anything other than that still. Even after
forever.
So even after the 5 years, we still have to meet the national.
We'll get a clarification on that, but I don't
think that's us, though. I think if someone else purchases it after 5 years, then they can do something.
Then it's open, up and free to do whatever
you want. But just per se, if we didn't sell it.
Low income person can buy it and don't.
Yeah, if you didn't sell it for 5 years, can you sell it then or use it for something else?
Yeah.
I'd have to check. I think since it didn't meet the national objective, I don't believe so. But we will verify it if we can get answers.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they're asking for us to give them an answer on which one we're going to do, but they're not giving us answers on the stuff that we need to know to decide what to do.
Communication has been difficult.
Yeah, because, you know, if you can...
That's not new.
Because a lot of people want to buy the property. This, you know, the neighbors want to buy the property, but does it fit within those guidelines of that if they're not...
So adjacent homeowner doesn't have any advantage?
If they wanted to build an elevated home and rent it to low-income residents, that could be a possibility.
Okay, but
what if they just wanted to just buy the property?
That's exactly what
I do know other counties that go into maintenance agreements with neighbors.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know, you can put a non-permanent structure on there, like a shed or park your RV on there if you mow it and keep it maintained and
but
go into
that
a maintenance agreement.
Didn't we have an issue with a couple of those?
I'm sure you could.
Where people were using the property and then we had to go out and have them remove it.
Yep.
Remember the guy with the garden?
Well, they can do it at that. There's certain things they can't
okay.
do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they can do a garden. They can do a garden, can't they?
Yeah. Well, I know we already have a potential, but we kind of have an estimate number of these homes. Do you remember what that is? Potentially what the number of homes that is that we would do as a buyout and or acquisition is. It's not a great number.
No, I would say max we could do probably somewhere around 30 homes.
Yeah, that's what I kind of
And I think 30. Finding eligibility for 30 might be difficult, especially with the LMI requirements. And, you know, these homeowners can opt out at any time. If they don't like the appraised value, they can say no right then.
Yeah.
So.
But it's... At one point, I thought there was an advantage to acquisition, but it doesn't sound like there's much of an advantage to acquisition.
Especially with the HUD funds. There's just the LMI requirements and the national objective requirements are difficult.
So basically what you're saying is that the acquisition home can be sold to someone that's low moderate income.
Sold directly to, we're trying to get that answer.
LMI?
But so you can sell it to, say, a developer who is going to provide low-income housing.
Or you can sell it to...
We're hoping that we're trying to find an answer.
What, an individual LMI.
We're looking for the answer for that.
Then they can turn around 5 years from there.
When you say
then sell it for double the price, and there won't be LMI anymore.
That's why I was...
Possible, yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, these would have to be put into the deed restrictions of the property, of course.
Yeah, put them in there, yeah. Okay.
So after 5 years, you could do anything with it if you bought it.
If it met the national objective in 5 years. Yeah.
So low-income housing is public housing?
That's another term used, yes.
Okay, so it's not. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out.
It's just not an LMI owner.
That's the question we put to them. Can we sell the property to an LMI person?
Yeah, okay. That's not answered yet. All right.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that yet.
Okay. I was thinking actually a home built that someone who fit the LMI could actually afford.
Yes.
We don't know that yet.
Yep.
Okay.
You want the next thing, Drew, please? Again, my name is Drew Cameron, and just for clarification, I work for the city of San Antonio as the Housing Community Development Director for almost 30 years, and we have done a little bit of this. Selling the property to a low-income person in and of itself doesn't satisfy the requirement. You have to sell it. If you sell it to a low-income person, they have to turn around and build a house on it. At that point where the house is built, then the clock starts ticking, and you've satisfied that requirement. One of the things that we can do is try to partner with the state through the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs with their tax credit program and attract a developer that would come and build multifamily housing that is affordable. And that would satisfy the requirement. But that's not something that we have set up that could happen next week.
And then there's always option C of no application at all.
Okay.
And then I've got a little less detail on the infrastructure application, if we're ready to move on to that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is just shy of $11 million, $10.9 million and some change. The county had, when we met months ago, had three priorities. Drainage projects to increase the capacities of the bar ditches and culverts around the county was the top priority. The others were the EOC improvements in the precinct barn. So we do have a project put together, or an application put together, to address those drainage issues that were discussed. Now, the infrastructure projects, and it drives me crazy that drainage projects are tied to LMI, because you can't really steer water where you want it to go to avoid neighborhoods. So we still have the LMI requirement. The countywide LMI number for Orange County and unincorporated areas is roughly 40%. So we intend to submit this application under another national objective called urgent need. And with this waiver in place, that we with this waiver request, we don't know how they're going to handle that when it comes in, if they'll make us wait and see how this, how, like I just said earlier, the chips are going to fall across the state, or they're going to kick it back and say, try harder. We've tried pretty hard. We've tried about every trick in the book to try to get that number much higher, and we just can't. But I still highly recommend we submit it as is under urgent need and let us push and fight to, we are meeting a national objective. And we have looked at the county's LMI numbers every which way we can, and the numbers are the numbers. So, and we're the second most impacted county in the state from Harvey, and we're going to keep that story going.
You know, I have such a problem with the LMI, and if the LMI was structured such a way that it has to benefit LMI, That'd be one thing, but trying to fit it in that little ball is really tough.
Yeah,
really tough.
It's a long discussion. I don't disagree with that.
Because the floodwaters didn't know.
Floodwaters didn't discriminate.
No, storms never do.
And when you have unincorporated areas, you have maybe one right here that's LMI. Then you have a really nice house right here.
It's worse than that.
But all of it is affected.
It was worse than I did.
Yes.
I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
So the way they do it, you have to use the census blocks.
Yes.
So if you hit the census block, you have to use that. So what we tried to do is we tried to look at all these drainage projects as individual projects as well and see if it worked. And we really couldn't pull in enough of the incorporated LMI numbers, because we can use the incorporated LMI numbers, but we can never get really over that 40%, because that's just where the county kind of falls overall.
This is more complicated than Hurricane Ike recovery, and it was supposed to make things simpler. It didn't even come close.
I'll keep my comment to myself.
Future storms will be totally unsolved.
Oh, and I did leave out a little something Nancy reminded me of. So the projects that we put into this application are those gaps that we had in that HMGP application. We wanted that. Make sure that was on the record.
Okay. Could you repeat the four projects for acquisition and buyout?
The target areas are Rebecca Place, Connolly, Buns Bluff, and then the homeowners that responded to and attended the meeting late last year. But on the motion that you guys are those are items that have to happen if we submit any application. So I do recommend that we do Section 3 citizen participation, the procurement policies. And what we did there is we're almost word for word policies that are already approved by the GLO at other counties.
I could not have stated when I did the agenda.
All right. I need a little help with these motions.
No kidding. Just say approve.
How many motions do you have?
Just say today? Make a motion to approve agenda.
Item 11.
So we'll have to name probably Joel as the staff person.
Yeah, Joel, I got some questions on this.
For me?
Yes. All right. This was pretty much self-explanatory. The Commissioner's Court resolution on the Community Development Revitalization 2017 housing buyout acquisition. This one. Okay. Now, we've got, you got here, order granting the authority of certain individual personnel to submit applications. We got three blanks here. What's your recommendation we fill those blanks with?
I forget what we said. I think I froze that.
Here.
The environment.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, the name Joel Ordway comes to place. So yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's like Beetlejuice.
I was going to do environmental studies, pending subject financial.
And you would sign the application.
They weren't filled out. They were left blank.
We were trying to buy the court. So,
three blanks. You put a name, or do we put an apartment?
So Joel goes in the first one.
So I move to put Joel in all three locations.
Okay. So you got you,
Penny.
You need a third one.
I'll be the.
Huh?
Joel will be the third one. Yeah.
Okay, so Joel will be the first one.
Are you going to get two of them, Joel?
Why?
You're going third. Penny will be second.
That's environmental. You're doing environmental?
What?
She's financial.
Well, I said the second one is environmental.
Right.
So the first one is authorized to approve applications for submission.
The approval of applications, then environmental, then the authorization to approve any and all certifications required to support the application.
Joel.
That's you. So Penny will still be second.
Penny's over environmental.
Okay.
So you're number three.
Penny's three.
Yeah. Make up your mind. Now, you said you're three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need to...
You flip a coin?
Yeah. I tell you what.
Like I said, Joe...
You're not environmental, Penny. I don't think you'd be environmental.
Because they're
you?
Not. They may not be in the same order.
No.
So you're three.
Penny already seconded it. Joe's
not going to all of them.
I don't either.
Within the certifications, the certifications
so the certification.
Or for labor standards office.
That would be
you. So we're talking Joel Penny.
That's what.
So we'll make sure we got it. Okay.
Do we write that Joel
in here? Okay. Yeah. You put it on there. Janine will type it out on the original form. Joel Penny. Okay. That works.
You tried, Penny.
All right, I guess I'll go ahead and make the motion, Judge.
Is there any more? Hold on, let me see if I got any more questions.
Here's another.
I got stickums everywhere.
So stick with one sheet at a time.
Okay, we got that one. See, Section 3 policy. I don't know what that is. Okay, we got that one.
Yeah, the Section 3.
Okay. I think you just make the motion to authorize the whole thing. I'm looking over here for the signatures. Well, here's Southeast Texas and Orange County. Oh, man.
I got a two-piece right here, Judge, is all I got on this first one.
Yeah, I know.
He's got all the
accuracy. He's got a bunch of supporting information.
Yeah, I don't know if it's important or not, but it's a bunch of stickers. All right, just go ahead and just do it. Just do it. I can do the rest. That was the only question I had, was the blanks. Okay.
I move to authorize Joe Ardoin to approve the application for submission of the Texas General Land Office for Hurricane Harvey Disaster Recovery Funding and to also... move for Joel to authorize and to approve the environmental reviews associated with Hurricane Harvey Disaster Recovery Project funding and authorize Penny Schmidt to approve any and all certifications required to support applications for Hurricane Harvey Disaster funding.
That's one part of 11.
So do we do it separately or like...
No, you got a whole ton on
11. You got a whole ton.
Oh, where are we at now?
And so you'd be going with now the resolution...
You got to prove.
What do you want to prove?
Agenda number 11. With the names. But see, we got to approve. I know it's confusing, guys. But
I know.
It's the way it showed up on them.
Right, so if you go with first, Mr. Trahan, you'd be authorizing first the court to authorize the submission of community development block grant. That's the first thing you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the first part of the motion. And that's signed by all of us. The other one is
then the three.
And then the three, which you've already named.
Mm-hmm.
What about submission?
Do we not want to break these up in different motions?
Let me tell you what I got. Just for clarification, you've got here the proposed ordinance authorizing county personnel to submit applications and approve required certification. That's Joel Penny. Then you got approval of Section 3 policy, federal grant procurement policy, and citizen participation plan. You got to approve those and judge to sign those. The county judge to sign those three things. What you've got is you got about five agenda items here in one.
Yeah, that should have been broken apart. That's my fault. I was out of town last week.
Okay, no problem.
We can still address each one of these five because I think the agenda item covers them.
It covers all
five. So we'll have to have five different motions, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You could have a motion. Here, let me break it down for you. The documents necessary for submission of projects, General Land Office on the Development Block Grant Program. Okay, then you're going to have discussion and action regarding the resolution. Okay, proposed ordinance Authorize the personnel to submit applications required certifications. That's one bracket. Then you got to approve Section 3 policy. That's the next one. Then your federal grant procurement policy, and then the citizen participation plan. Now, you could make one agenda item approving Section 3 policy, federal grant procurement policy, and citizen participation plan. Yeah, you knock that out in one.
All right. Let's see if I can figure out how to amend that exactly.
Right. Withdraw your motion and start all over.
Let's start over.
All right. Now, your first motion will be for the proposed ordinance authorizing, the first one.
The court to approve documents necessary for submission of projects to the Federal Land Office for funding under the Hurricane Harvey Community Development Program.
That would be one.
That's one. Make that a motion.
I made that motion.
Right. Okay.
Second.
You know what?
Let's get them out one way, one or
three.
It'll be mass confusion. Just put. You made the motion?
I made the motion.
Second.
He seconded it. That was the first lineup.
We can do it all at once. Make the motion, starting off with what you said.
Okay.
And then just keep reading. Just read the whole thing.
All right.
Make a motion and read the whole thing, and you got everything covered, and we make one vote.
All right. And to documents for discussion and action, including resolution authorizing application submission, proposed ordinance authorizing county personnel to submit applications, approve required certifications.
And those state being the personnel.
Joel Ardoin is approved to approve applications for submission to the Texas General Land Office. Joel Ardoin is authorized to approve environmental reviews associated with Hurricane Harvey disaster recovery. Penny Schmidt is authorized to approve any and all certifications required to support applications for Hurricane Harvey disaster funding. And the approving a Section 3 policy, federal grant procurement policy, and a citizen participation plan.
There you go.
Second. Is that all one?
That's all one motion.
Okay.
Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, second by Commissioner Precinct 4. Clarifying the motion is necessary for item number 11 on the agenda. Any discussions?
Decision on acquisition
with
this
motion
as well?
No.
Not yet.
Not this one.
We don't have the criteria necessary to make that decision.
They got to answer those questions.
Any further questions? You got it?
You good?
I don't know.
Sorry, Commissioner Trahan, about taking it out and switching it around.
That's fine.
As we get through it, we get it done.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor, say five, saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Ayes have it. But Joe's the one that confused us.
Yeah, I am not. My apologies. But if you don't make that decision on the buyout or acquisition today, then we can't post that part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought we said we should make a decision because of the criteria wasn't here. Based on what criteria?
Well, there's a couple of those answers that we don't have on that. Those two that were brought up.
Okay. We should make another motion on that. It's involving number 11.
Yes, it is. So it's whether which one do you want to do? The acquisition,
and I understand that.
I don't know enough to even make a decision on
that. That's what's hard. We've got some pretty serious questions that, without being answered, it's hard to determine which one of those we want to do.
Is there time to do this in a week?
Can we wait a week? And like maybe push for some answers?
We can try. We have been pushing the GLO for answers. They're hard.
We don't want
y'all to
make a decision you're not comfortable with, obviously.
Well, I'm not comfortable. I don't know the information. Just understand the timing. The applications have to be submitted to the GLO by August 25th.
Yeah.
We have to back up about 30 or 40 days because you have to have a 30-day public comment period before you can submit the application.
So what's your recommendation?
Let's hold off on the buyout acquisition for about another week.
Okay.
We will push the GLO. Worst case, we will have the judge call the commissioner and see if we can get an answer out of them.
Okay.
And then come back so y'all can then proceed with.
Okay. Yeah, we leave that 1 week. We put that on reagenda item for next meeting, which we're
going. Do you want
which is next Tuesday.
Should we go ahead with the infrastructure? We'll have two different public comment periods, or we can delay both.
So we're pushing back.
Well, I'm okay on the infrastructure piece. I'm okay on the infrastructure piece because there's not a lot of questions involved with that.
No.
But on the housing, between the the buyout and acquisition, there's some big questions that need to be answered on that. I feel
it's
like
it's one or the other. I mean, you put.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the application process for the infrastructure program alone. This week.
And then we will address acquisition and buyout
next week. It's got to be next week.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, second by Commissioner Precinct 4, to approve the infrastructure application only at this time. Any further discussions? Got it, Joe?
I think so.
Maybe.
I think so. I'm confused.
Hope you have it better than I do.
You're confused.
No,
we straightened it all out.
No, do not say that, Joe. Say that.
No, not you.
Not you.
All in favor, 65, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
There we go.
That's why the federal government moves so slow. They got so much...
wording.
Well, extra wording.
I just kind of find it odd that they're expecting us to make a decision on something we don't have a complete understanding of. I mean, that's just crazy.
I don't know.
Well, but they don't. They don't the whole time.
They haven't even made the rules yet.
Right.
Okay. Is that it on 11?
Yes, sir.
I believe so.
I think so.
Let's go on to 12.
That was interesting.
Yes.
The way it was. Okay. We got it done, though. That's the main thing.
That's it.
All right. Item 12. Discussion possible action regarding requesting FEMA funding for an improved project versus the FEMA Alternative Procedures Pilot Program 428. Well, my understanding is we're voting today to abolish 428 program, correct?
Well, yes, or so.
But I mean, after all along, we can talk for 30 minutes, but basically that's what it is, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we were denied our extension request, which
was 428.
Right. So this, and they sold the project as an expedited program. The state pushed it, and it turned out to be everything but that.
Yeah. It went longer than normal.
Right. So this is running into the, reverting back to the regular program.
Okay.
Improved project.
So moved.
Yep.
That's right.
That was a good summary.
Yes,
that was a good summary.
Summarizing pretty quick.
I mean, if you want to know some details, but basically, we
going to
be lost. We're just moving it back to the regular program.
We're just moving it out of 428 and putting it back in the regular program. Yes, and be done with it.
The only difference, yes.
Just it.
You got a motion by one and a second by four.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, second by Commissioner Precinct 4. Two. Change the FEMA requested funding for the improved project to be out of the 428 program and back to the original program. Any further discussion? Mm-hmm. All in favor, 65 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye, stand it.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Joe. I wouldn't apologize. You just made it interesting.
It's just all confusing. Joe, didn't make it that way.
Hey, it wouldn't have made no difference, Joe. It still would have been confusing.
It still would have been confusing if it went one at a time.
Yeah. All right. Item 13. Discussion of possible action regarding the Orange County Commission's score approving the purchase of an NB reader, microfish jacket filler, and a microfilm reader printer for our records management department.
Virginia? Okay.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How much?
A total. Okay, there's a demo one or a new one, and it's not too much difference in price for the new one. Both pieces of equipment. It would be $15,636 for the refurbished or demo one. It would be
$12,841. Is this in your budget?
Yes,
I'm assuming it is. Do we need to have to do a contingency transfer next week to cover this, or is it done?
No, this is actually already in her
restricted. I say it should be in her budget.
Okay, so that's what I was asking. We can approve it today, and then we didn't
and then
have to
next
do
week we transfer the money out of, from her budget to the purchase, right? Because it's not a contingency. We're not asking for money out of contingency.
No.
We just approved the day she can buy it.
Because it's in your budget to buy.
Okay, all right.
Is $15,000 in your budget to buy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather have a new one than a new one.
It's not for the new one. It's in her special
fund. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we don't have to do all the other transfers. Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm asking.
So move
for the new one.
I'd say, okay, is that, are y'all doing new?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then I'll.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2, to buy a brand-new NB Reader microfiche jacket filler and microfilm reader printer. Any further discussion? That's a mouthful. Let me hear.
Now, the reader printer is the one that's new. Yes. The other one, the jacket filler, it only comes refurbished.
Okay. So we're going to have to
pay. So we can't get both pieces new?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Where did a new one ever start? I mean,
okay.
Never mind.
For the benefit of the oral minutes, the motion made by Commissioner Precinct 3, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2, the Orange County Commissioner's Court approved buying a brand-new microfilm reader printer and an NB Reader microfiche jacket filler availability, whatever it is. Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye, damn it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yeah, those are easy.
Hey, Joe, I got to thinking about it. You know, you were apologizing for your agenda item and all that. But basically, really, you should apologize to Regina and to Clark because they have patiently waited after your agenda item to do their little short deal presentation.
Quick. See,
okay?
I thought you was jealous for them.
I just thought I'd run that by, Joe. But anyway.
So what happens when you go out of town for 2 weeks and go whatever you did?
When you take vacation.
All right. Item 14, discussion possible action regarding Orange County Commissioner's Court approving the replat of 8.52 acres out of the Manshack Place plat into two tracts of 3.4 acres and 5.12 acres. Manshack Place is located Precinct 1. Both tracts will have a roadway access at South 87. The proper fill-in and reproduction fees have been paid and a tax certificate has been provided.
That pretty well covers it all. It's just a simple matter of dividing a piece of property into two smaller tracts. Both of these tracks have access to Highway 87, and one of them actually has access also on Little Cypress.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd looked at that, and yeah. I think originally they were looking at putting a fire station there, and I guess that's not the plan anymore. So,
yeah, I don't know about the use of it.
But anyway, I know exactly where that's located.
Do they plan to build a home? Or
something? I'm sure he's going to. He's actually sold a lot to my daughter. and two other residents in that area, so it'll be
yeah,
two
can't
other.
Vote then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. So that'll make it five lots for this little subdivision. It's a very small subdivision. So
originally, the bigger tract he had cut it up into four pieces, and this was one bigger piece of the four.
Okay.
Now he's cutting that into two pieces.
Okay. Need a motion, second?
I move.
Second.
1, 2. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2, approving the replat for the Manshack Place. Any further discussions? Mm-hmm. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item 15, discussion possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
Second.
Meeting adjourned. 1, 2.
Special paper.
Oh, we have